Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Joe Larson sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders tonight. You're listening to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, and we're talking with Christian businessman and cattle rancher Joe Blystone. And I was right in the middle of just the qualities you were looking for and people that you would want to have on your team. And I know faith was one, because if you have people, you were saying people of faith, there would also hopefully be people of honesty, integrity. And then we also, one of the big important things is they have to have knowledge of what's the knowledge, well, like the men of Issachar, understanding of the times, right?
That's right. Yeah. I think you hit just about everything there on the head. You know, if we have that good, honest person with some integrity and has our belief, I think the rest of it's kind of secondary. I think it can all fall into place.
I think you're right there. We need more good people to get into politics, to run for office. We got too many people who are, like you said, going in for the wrong reasons. They want to be career politicians, and the founding fathers had it. You go in and you do your service to the country, and then you go back to the private sector. But wish more people saw it that way. But that's, again, it's kind of lack. I think it's one of those things that wasn't taught in the public school system, and the people don't understand the intent of the founding fathers, and that kind of contributes. But we have this war going on. It's a spiritual, I call it a spiritual war, but the communism, the socialism, political correctness, the wokeism, I think all of this is, we keep saying on this radio show, underneath everything, it's a spiritual battle. It's the Christ versus the Antichrist system, and it's being played on a political field. But would you agree with me that underneath it all, it is a spiritual battle? It goes back to the, you know, good versus evil, right versus wrong? Or am I being overly simplistic?
No, sir. That's I say that just about in every speech I give. I said it's not left versus right or R against D anymore. It's godliness versus evilness, and we see that in many different facets in our everyday lives. You know, what was deemed sinful 10, 20 years ago is now just a normal standard acceptance in everyday life. And it's just we're definitely going down the wrong path, and people need to get down on their knees and pray. And you know, I believe that's why we're in this mess, because many have turned their backs on God. The country's trying to cancel out God. And they just don't understand that this great country was built on godly principles, and we need to get back to them.
So we kind of, that's like what we're saying around here, there's been this tolerance of sin, and when you tolerate sin, you get more of it, and it tends to, grow diametrically, doesn't it?
That's exactly right.
I'm looking at a news article. Voters, it's a Fox News poll, say the State of the Union is, you know, talking about worse than it was a year ago, and only about 30% of the voters are satisfied with the way things are going in the country. And with Biden coming up on his first state of the, well, we call him other thing, that basically only a quarter of the people think the economy is going well. Less than a third of the nation are satisfied with the direction, and over half of the people think we're all worse off than we were a year ago. And as I just keep looking for this, we had this terrible, the left had this thing where they just had to get rid of Trump. Do you have an idea what's your idea why they hated Donald Trump so much?
Well, where do you start there? Obviously, they didn't much care for his outlandish speech. I mean, I believe we can all agree sometimes he said just a little too much.
But I will go along with that.
Yeah, you know, but we didn't, like I say, we didn't hire him for his personality. We hired him for his smart. We hired him for his toughness. You know, he was our general going into battle. You can't be passive to go into that job. You got to have thick skin, and you got to be, and you got to stand for the people. And he did exactly that. And I don't believe he faltered. And you know, people, I believe a lot of these, especially the leftist woke crowd, they want somebody that they kind of control. They want somebody that, you know, makes them, you know, feel good. Many years ago, I was raised a Baptist. Baptist kid, you know, we went to a church, fire and brimstone preaching, you know. When you went to church, you know, our pastor was going to tell you what you did wrong all week. And then later in life, I went to a Methodist church down in Columbus, and went in there and visited, and it was quite the opposite, because it was like the pastor was he wanted you to feel good, all warm and fuzzy inside, and really didn't hit on what I was used to. I want somebody
talk about sin.
No, because that might offend you. Well, that's the society that we live in today. They don't want you to say anything that offends them. They don't want you to be told the truth. They want you to feel all warm and fuzzy, and obviously Trump was not warm and fuzzy. He said what needed to be said. He stood up and fought where the fight was, and he did a heck of a job. I believe in my lifetime, he's the greatest president we've ever had.
Well, I'll go along there. I think one of the reasons I ask you the question, I think one of the things that they hated about Donald Trump was he was an outsider. And he wasn't going to play the game. He wasn't going to go along with the crowd. He wasn't going to go along with the "I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine" and the way the game was played. And I'm sure in the state government, it's kind of like the federal government. There's a lot of game playing, a lot of power plays, a lot of backside deals. And I think because he was an outsider that wouldn't play the system, he was hated and feared, and I'm just wondering if you might have some of that problem yourself, because you are definitely, you sound to me like an outsider and a man of God and truth, and I don't know how well that would always go in a large bureaucracy.
Well, it's not, and that's what I tell people. You know, I always say I'm not going down to Columbus to make friends. And if nobody hates you, you're probably not getting anything done worth doing. So I'll wear that badge with pride.
Amen. What are the priorities you think right now in Ohio? The things that need attention, like 1, 2, and 3. What are the first couple of things that need to be done?
Well, we need to stop all this masking and all this mandating of vaccines, whether it's private business or governmental business. It needs to stop. The fact that people are losing their jobs because they're not willing to take a emergency use only vaccine is just lunacy. You know, just like our healthcare workers, they worked through the first year. They didn't They didn't waver. They were on the front lines. They were heroes. But this year, if they don't take the vaccine, they're fired. And this is happening all over this state. It needs to stop. Our current governor, his cure to that is, well, let's fire them, and we're going to bring in our National Guard, and they're going to work in the hospitals. They don't have the training. They can't do the job. I guess they can make coffee or something, but, you know, at the end of the day, people are going to die, because there's not enough healthcare workers. They can't get the services that they need. And we have a bunch of, bozos down in, Columbus that can't get their act together and, fix this problem.
Would you be willing to try and work to allow some of the medications, some of the treatments that many of the frontline doctors, like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, would you be willing to get into that fight and try and make that available to the doctors in the state of Ohio to be able to use?
Well,
the idea that the doctor and patient should make the decisions, not the darn government.
That's right. There should be no government in between the relationship of you and your doctor, period. And the fact that they're keeping pharmaceuticals, proven pharmaceuticals, just like hydroxychloroquine. I mean, that's been around for decades. It's sold over the counter in third world countries. They're not allowing these prescriptions to go out. And as we know, ivermectin, that's been around quite interesting. They do have the human ivermectin, but
right.
The Amish people, they've been using the livestock ivermectin to treat different issues in their communities for years.
Exactly. Well, it's used all over the world for what there were like 22 or 26 different things that they treat, different types of illnesses they treat with ivermectin. It's a very broad use drug, and it's been one of the most used drugs in the world. And so when they say it can't harm you, it certainly we've proved, you know, with hundreds of millions of people taking this thing, it's proved definitely it's safe.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, and that's kind of laughable that they say can harm you. I mean, have you actually listened to a pharmaceutical commercial lately? You know, with the disclaimer at the end of different things that could happen, including
sudden
you dying.
And immediate death. One of the things was, you know, it could cause sudden and immediate death. I thought, now that's kind of a drawback on that drug, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
I have to laugh at that, but you're right. Half the commercials, one set of commercial are selling you all the new drugs, and then there's the group of attorneys coming around and suing the drug manufacturers for all these different drugs that have, you know, crippled, killed, and caused all kinds of problems. Something just doesn't strike me right about that, you know?
No.
I kind of chuckle at it, but it's a very serious thing. I mean, on one hand, they're selling all of this stuff, and on the other hand, they have all these attorneys suing the people that are selling you all this stuff with all these side effects. So something's not right. But I did want to, if you can bear with me, a story I wanted to tell people here. Out of World News Daily, virus DNA matches code patented by Moderna 3 years before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Researchers put the odds of this happening naturally at 3 trillion to 1. Yep. Fueling suspicion that the SARS-CoV-2 originated in a lab in China, researchers discovered DNA in the virus that matches the genetic sequence patented by Moderna 3 years before the pandemic. And there's kind of complicated, but it's in the part of the virus that binds to the human cells that allows it when it binds, that's what causes the infection. This is according to the London Daily Mail. And scientists have been saying for a long time now that this furin cleavage structure could not have developed naturally. In a new study published in the Frontiers of Virology, the researchers compared some 30,000 letters of genetic code carrying the information needed to spread to SARS-CoV-2 with millions of sequenced proteins in a database. And earlier, the Telegraph of London reported researchers discovered this early version of SARS-CoV-2 that appears to have been grown in a lab. So the story goes on and on, backing up a lot of things a lot of other people talking about. But what I was amazed here, this is pretty big scientific news, and the mainstream media, I hear crickets. You ever notice when something big like that comes out that's against the narrative, there's kind of a news blackout on it?
Oh, yeah. Yep. They don't want us to find the real story. Yeah. And that's the problem.
I just thought the people ought to know this story because it's kind of a plug for the ministry, but we tell what people a lot of time. We tell people things that the government doesn't want our listeners to know. And it's things like this that we put out and we make sure that it gets out there and kind of thing we put in our newsletters. So, folks, yes, I'm giving a plug to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry. And if you're not on our newsletter list, you really should when you write into the ministry at WRWL Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Sperry Road, there in Newberry, Ohio, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. When you contact us, be sure to tell us you want to get our newsletter. Be sure we have your full name, address, and phone number in case something goes wrong, and we'll put you on the email list, and we send that out every month with quite a few things that the government and the world would rather you didn't know. So that was just a short plug there, but that's the kind of story we need to get out. It just happened today, and normally, it's usually 3-4 weeks later somewhere it finally comes out in the news, but our listeners get it a bit ahead of time. How long ago did you decide that you were going to run for office, and why did you pick governor?
Well, back February of last year, and the reason I chose that seat is because that's the only seat that I believe you can make the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I had people come out and say, well, Joe, you should probably run for, you know, a township trustee or even like House representative or Senate or you need to start out lower. And that's just not, who I am.
To be a politician, right? That's what they were trying to tell you?
Yeah, that's right. And I've had many people try to talk me out of it, political strategists, lobbyists, because they know that I'm going to break their system in half if I get down in there. So they're all afraid. So, you know, that's the only place we can make the biggest difference. I don't want to just, I'm not looking for a job, you know. I got a job. I like feeding cows. I'm doing this out of necessity, not because I want to do it. If there was somebody else that stepped up to the plate and I thought, well, they was a good, honest Christian individual and they had the right stuff, and I could get behind them and help get them elected, I would have been all about it. But there was nobody.
What you thought would be the person. How do people get a hold of you? And if they want to help or find out, help your campaign, find out more about you, do you have a website? Do you have an email address? What do you have?
Yeah, they can get on our website. It's Blystone. It's spelled out Blystone for F-O-R,
yes, Governor. Why don't you spell it? Because some of us are lousy spellers. So spell away.
Okay. It's B as in boy, L-Y-S-T-O-N-E, Governor, G-O-V-E-R-N-O-R, .com.
.com.
Blystone for governor.com.
Oh, the word for in there, Blystone for governor.
Yeah. Yeah. F O R for governor.com.
And any other contact information? Is there an email or anything, or just everybody? It's all on that website.
They can email at info@ Blystone for governor.
Okay, info@ Blystone for governor.
Yep.
Okay, that can be an email. All right. Are you looking for people to work on a campaign with you or help? You know, are you looking for volunteers?
Absolutely. We're always looking for good patriot volunteers, people who will stand up and get the work done. The biggest priority, we got to get the name out there all over this state. We got 88 counties. My wife and I, we travel around in a bus. Matter of fact, before I got on here, we had an event. I'm sitting in a parking lot in Lima right now. So, it's every day. We have about 70 days, until the primary. The primary is May 3rd, and unless they move it, we're hoping that they stay with May 3rd, but we don't know. But that's what we're gearing towards right now. We got a lot of work between now and May, so if people want to get involved, contact us.
I imagine that includes you could use some donations too, then, right? That running for office is not, it's a free country, but running for office takes a little bit of money, right?
It takes a lot of money. Right now, we got a big campaign that we started about a week ago. We're looking for 10,000 patriots to donate $100. If we can get 10,000 to donate $100, that'll give us $1 million to help get the information out there.
You know, it's not a bad. We have to do every month. We have to do a week, a pledge week, a fundraising to pay the bills for the month. So I know how that is. None of us in the ministry take any money, make any money for the work we do, and everything goes to pay the bills. And right now, I figure that's about where you're at. You're living off your own money, and anything comes in for mailing and advertisement and travel and this kind of thing, right?
And that's right. There no staff on our campaign is paid staff. They've jumped into this because they see the writing on the wall, whether they're fighting for their family, their children, their grandchildren. They see that they have to get involved, and we have a lot of great people all over this state working just as hard as I do.
That is very interesting. That is not what I would, from my understanding, is not a normal situation, right? Most time the first thing somebody running, they hire a good campaign manager. And, well, you mentioned the lobbyists. That's one of the things. I take it, what's your opinion of most lobbyists, or shouldn't I ask that question? That might be a bad question to ask. I know what my opinion is, and I'm almost afraid to open my mouth.
I don't think this is a show that you say four-letter words.
Lobbyist is a four-letter word. I gotcha. That does answer my question.
Yep, I think, Yep, I think we could do much better in this country if we didn't have not the first one lobbyist.
Yeah, I know K Street in D.C., the more lobbyists, it seems like the more lobbyists, the more corruption. When you have people who are, their entire job is to go and convince elected officials how to vote, what's important. And it always seems like, you know, this again, instead of it being for the people, it's for the big corporation, the big business, because they are the ones who can hire full-time lobbyists or lobbyists, plural, and have the money to wine, dine, and take people out to dinner and out to lunch and et cetera, et cetera. And to me, that seems to be one of the real downsides of our system of government. And instead of looking for successful people in business to come in and give advice freely, you know, instead of the president or a governor of a state calling someone and saying, hey, can I, you know, get your opinion on a certain thing? That would be kind of an open government that I think would be appreciated. Does that make sense to you?
Well, absolutely. You know, we're running on the platform. We want transparency, whether it's in our budget. We don't want any smoke and mirrors. And I want to change the way we do business here in Ohio. You know, I don't want any appointments set forth by the governor. I think that should be a choice of the people, not single-handedly by the governor. So it's very different from the way things are done now. The governor right now, he has a lot of power that he wields, and everybody's
political appointments are often plums, aren't they? The paybacks for campaign contributions.
And that's exactly what they are. And just like campaign contributions, we have come out publicly. We will not accept from PACs or any organizations, any dark money. I just won't do that. We only accept money from individuals. And to be quite honest, most of the donations that come in, the majority, you know, they're you know, $5, $10, $20, $100. Not you know, thousands of dollars, or millions through a PAC. We're running our campaign just opposite of a normal campaign, and we have a lot of traction all over this state.
Well, Joe Blystone, I've got one question. I've always had a thought that in a state, why should somebody in California be able to send money to a candidate in Ohio? I always figured if you have a vote, you can donate. If you don't have a vote, like a corporation, you can't donate. If you can't vote in Ohio, you shouldn't be able to spend money in Ohio. You know, New York or California should not be able to send money to, you know, the money should be raised by people who vote in the state that the election's happening. Does that make sense to you?
It makes common sense. I mean, that sounds like common sense.
We can't have that. I forgot that died, didn't it? Yeah, common sense died. I keep forgetting. No, I'm joking. But we've got just a couple of minutes. But on that, do you think that's something as governor you could bring, you think you might back that, you know, campaigns should be run within the states and money? So outside people like George Soros should not be able to dump huge sums of money into the district attorney there in Cleveland or whatever. Would have to be only voters in the state can donate money. I think that would really help clean up America, don't you?
Well, I think would too. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you for giving that to me.
Well, you can surely take it and run with it. I've been trying to tell some people that for many, many years. It's like it makes sense. It's one of the ways to clean up America. Because remember, our state governments, the federal government was supposed to be severely limited in what they were able to do. Most of the power was to the state. and the idea that government should be closest to the people. The most government should be the government closest to the individual voter was the idea, and we've gotten a long, long way away from that, haven't we?
Oh, that's, yeah, and that's an understatement.
Hey, if you can stay with us, I'm just looking at the time. I think right at the bottom here, we're just a few seconds away from song. I don't have direct communication with Craig there in the studio, but I think, Craig, if it's time, let's have a song. And Joe, if you'll stay with us, we'll take a short break and be right back after this song.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. I'll remember in November.
In November,
as I step into the little booth, I'll remember in November to vote
for anyone but.
Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember,
I'll remember you.
I'll remember in November.
In November,
as I step into the little booth, I'll remember.
Welcome back. You're listening to Pastor Joe Larson, who is sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders. You're listening to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. Our special guest tonight is Joe Blystone. And Joe is a businessman, a cattle rancher, and a Christian. And he is running for governor of the great state of Ohio. And he's been our guest. And I'm really glad you're with us tonight. It's been to me a very interesting conversation because your ideas go very much coincide to what I believe we have to get back to if we want to turn this country around. We started with a song, "We Must Take America Back," and I think the only way we're going to take America back, Joe, is if the citizen like yourself, who realizes we have to turn this country around, steps forward and decides to go do their part. And we have a citizen government once again, that a government like the one the founding fathers envisioned. Do you What do you think?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I tell people. You know, it's time to get up. It's time to get involved. You know, people are timid. They think, well, you know, I can't jump into an elected position. I can't run for, you know, council or township trustee or what have you. And I always try to inspire these people. You know, do you balance a checkbook? Do you run a household? Do you have a job? Do you pay bills? I mean, you know, if you can do those things, you can run one of these elected positions. Don't think you can't, and don't let anybody intimidate you saying that you can't jump into these seats. And I've been at this for a year now, and I can't tell you how many places I go to, you know, two or three times, and people come up to me and say, Joe, you know, the first time you was out here, you inspired me. So I decided to run for school board, or I decided to jump into the central committee race or whatnot. So, you know, it makes you humbled that, you know, these people are even listening to you. But, you know, something is turning on, and they realize that they have to get into the fight.
Amen. Well, I think most people don't understand that you've got your local political parties, and quite often they have weekly or monthly meetings, and most people don't think to go to them, find out they're a citizen, and they have a right to go to these and join in and help decide the direction that their party is going to be in their area. And I remember a long time ago learning all politics is local. It starts with the family is the base of our society. And what's good for the family is good for the community. What's good for the community, for the city. What's good for the city is usually good for the county. What's good for the county, the state, and the state. What's good for the state is good for the nation. And it starts, and I think we've lost that idea of family being the basic organization of government and of life in this country. We've lost that, haven't we?
Well, we have. Now it's kind of like a big funnel, and it all starts in Washington. And we can we turn that around? I hope so. I pray we can, but man, it's going to take some hard work, and it's going to take a lot of people waking up and getting involved.
Well, that's one thing this country has done in its history. Whenever it really got down to the wire, got tough, whether, you know, going all the way back to the Revolutionary War, to World War I, to whenever the American people really understood they had to get out and participate, that it was up to them. They volunteered, they joined, and I think if we can reach enough people and explain, this is a battle right now. It's a battle for the heart and soul of America. This is a political battle, but it's underneath, it's a spiritual battle. We talked about that earlier, about, you know, the Christ and the Antichrist. There's this undergirding, they're trying to destroy religion in America, the Christian religion, I should say. And there is so much going on. If we can reach enough people that they have to understand this is their fight, this is for the future of their families, their children, their grandchildren, and what should matter more to anyone than the fate, what's going to be the fate of your children and grandchildren? I can't think, to me, there's nothing more important than what kind of world I leave for my children and my grandchildren. I love these kids. And I want them to have the things that I had, and I want them to have the freedom that I had, and I want them to have a future, not live under a tyrannical government where they are a servant instead of the sovereign. We're turning this around. We are the sovereigns, and I want to keep it that way, don't you?
Absolutely. We got to fight for our children, and if we don't, we're going to see more of the same. If we allow this to happen, it will never end, and they'll want more. We better be paying attention to what's happening in Canada. You know, the fact that they've shut down the protests and they're freezing bank accounts, and you know, if that cannot happen. And
they've lost their freedom in Canada, haven't they? The government, basically, the Trudeau said to heck with the Constitution in Canada, and he's become a dictator instead of a leader. He's a dictator, and that can happen just as quickly and easily here, can it?
That's right. That's exactly right. So people need to, they need to pay very close attention.
I hope it's more than paying attention. I was cheered as I was watching the convoy, the truckers' convoy, take off from California, and the people on the overpasses and lining the highways, waving the flags and cheering on the truckers. And especially like that one convoy, the Patriot convoy, because they're talking the People's Convoy, I should say, peoplesconvoy.org, peoplesconvoy.org, folks. They want to keep it peaceful. They want to keep it law-abiding. They don't want to do a snarl up the traffic. They're not even going to go into D.C. proper. They are going to go around and try and get as much attention as they can just using the size of the convoy, and they're going to ask different people to come and ride with the truckers, and it's going to be doing it a real American way. And I'm just hoping that we get people to pray that they stay peaceful and that it helps wake up this country, that everybody can do their part. People can go to that website. I guess you can also go to wepatriot.org, wepatriot.org, and the information about the convoy, where they're going to be, when, et cetera. You can follow them, pray for them. And, Joe, while you're with me, I want to, I know it's your night, but one of the stories today is thousands of Americans are left behind in Ukraine. Thousands of people are still there. In fact, there was a gentleman, they had a bunch of buses, and they were going to bus people out of Kiev, and when the attack started, the buses were sitting there, and I guess the drivers and a lot of the people didn't show up, and the buses were stranded with no drivers. They were all grabbing their families and fleeing, trying to guess. Anyway, a lot of the airports are shut down, and from my understanding, there are thousands. Our government isn't sure how many, but I've heard some things up to 30,000 Americans. Potentially, those are some of the estimates. Our State Department didn't know how many are there, but they said there could be 30,000. And we do have an American there from Project Dynamo. His name's Stern. And Brian Stern, he was a military vet who helped get Americans out of Afghanistan and saved a lot of people there, saved hundreds of Americans there. And he and Project Dynamo are over there, and he saved 2,000 people at least from Kabul, and they are right now helping get people out while missiles were falling from the sky. So Americans are there all over the world, are doing fantastic things, folks. Americans, God-fearing, Bible-believing Americans are out there doing, as you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me, Jesus said. So if you would, pray with me. Let's offer up a prayer, and we will all need prayer someday, all of us. So join me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as I see this report, I think of all the, not only all the Americans that are trapped, but the thousands of women and children and 10,000s and old people who have no business being in the middle of the terrible modern war with the horrible weapons we have, with the missiles and the fighter planes and the big bombs and all the weapons of mass destruction, Lord, that you would help protect these people, help them get ways out of the country, out of harm's way, that there would be a minimal loss of life and casualties, especially for the civilians. I wish it for all men involved in war, but right now, especially for the weak and the vulnerable who can't fight and who just are trying to flee to safety, Lord, that you would just bless them, cover them, guide and direct them, and get as many out as if it be thy will, Lord. We always have to ask if it's thy will, that you would just aid all these terrified, frightened people. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sometimes, you know, Amen. Joe, I go to pray, and I know it's in my heart, and the words don't always come out, but the wonderful thing about our God is he also knows what was in my heart, and he knows the feelings that are there, even if I don't get the right words out. He understands, he knows what was in my mind and heart, and I consider that one of the great blessings of being a Christian, and just had to give that a little bit of witness. But like over there, I hear Americans always saying it can't happen here, you know, whatever, you know, with our border problems, with stock market, whatever it is, oh, it can't happen in this country. But I have a feeling from what you've been talking about, you're one of those that understands bad things can happen, and they can happen here. And if we don't turn things around, they very well may happen here, right?
Yeah, you know, that's right. You know, we've been definitely too comfortable in our environment. And, you know, my lieutenant governor, he joined the Marines right out of high school, and he ended up going to Iraq. He fought in the Battle of Fallujah. When he came back, he was awarded the Navy Cross of Valor for what he went through. And then, you know, his job here, they held it hostage and told him that if he didn't get a jab, he would lose his job. And,
that's why he
joined up with me. He said, you know, Joe, he said, I fought on foreign soil. He said, I never did think I would have to fight for my freedoms in the United States. But yet here I am. And it's, you know, it's ironic that, you know, he did sign on the dotted line, and he fought for America and what it stood for. And then America let him down. And I hope people realize that, you know, we shouldn't have to make these decisions in this great country. But here we are, and we have to fight to turn it around. Freedom is not free. We can't expect somebody else to do it. We have to get in the fight.
All right. We've got, I'm just going to have you two quick things. Give your website and your email. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. We're getting close to the end of the program. So if you would, just God be with you. But go ahead, as you say goodbye, give your website and email out.
All right. Yes, sir. It's Blystone. forgovernor.com. That's our website. And our email is info@blystoneforgovernor.com.
Joe, I want to thank you. You've been a marvelous guest tonight. It's been a real pleasure, and I wish you Godspeed, my friend. I'm going to count you as one of my new friends.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Sure do appreciate it. Have a great evening.
God bless, and I hope we'll have you back. Just a couple of minutes. Pastor Hal is here. And Hal, I wanted to do a real quick little prayer of mine, and then I want you to do the invitation tonight. Little prayer my grandmother did was called May, and I just kind of increased it. May the love of God surround you and give you peace. May the presence of God watch over and guide you. May the power of God protect you and give you kingdom authority. May the knowledge of God empower you and sustain you. May the mercy of God forgive you. May the grace of God grant your salvation, and the Spirit of God change you forever, so that you may serve Him with joy, witness to His truth, proclaim His kingdom, and let your light shine so that all the world may know that you love and serve the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pastor Hal, you've got it. Take it away.
Okay, I believe, you know, God said that Christians are supposed to take a stand and fight tyranny. All, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the Old Testament prophets, they took a stand against any wicked kings that try to turn the people to sin and idolatry. And that's what you have in America right now, as well as Canada. You have wicked Antichrist communists trying to just destroy America, destroy it morally, destroy it economically, and every other way. And the only way, the only real escape is to turn your heart and soul over to Lord Jesus Christ, because everybody listening to me right now would rather go to heaven than go to hell. And one of these days you're going to die. It could be tonight. But the thing is, be ready when it happens. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment for every sin you've ever done. He transferred your guilt in full upon his son Jesus, because he said sin had to be paid for, and he knew we couldn't pay for it ourselves unless we went to hell for all eternity. So he let Jesus pay the payment in our place. And Jesus said, "It is finished." That means God accepted what he did in your place on that cross. But salvation don't become yours automatically. John 1:12 said that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away those sins is the blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. If you want salvation, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You can come to him right now in a simple prayer of faith. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart, and Jesus will come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross. "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I here and now believe that you died on the cross and shed your blood to save my soul. And I ask you to come into my heart and save me right here and now, Lord Jesus. And I give you all the praise and the thanks and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen." Go ahead, Joe.
Amen. Thank you much. It's been my pleasure to sit in tonight for Pastor Ernie. And you might keep Pastor Ernie in your prayer. I don't know what exactly is wrong. He just said he was not feeling well. So I would just ask all the listeners out there to pray for him, for his help. And that will also keep you from having to put up with me tomorrow. And I think we've got, how much time do we have left, Craig? 30 seconds. And just keep all those people in prayer in the Ukraine tonight. There are so many needs. And keep our Freedom Convoy of truckers, keep them in prayer, and hold this nation up in prayer. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. May God bless you all, and always, always, always.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance, What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.